Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Pei Zayin, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Vav Omid Beis, Rav V'Shmuel, the Omri Travai. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achinu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunu Batzara V'Ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So, we're continuing to discuss the Mishnah on Daf Pei Dal Omid Beis, which is a foundational Mishnah as it relates to Hilchis Kinyonim, specifically as it relates to Meshicha, Hagbah, and Chatzah. Today's daf is going to begin with a memra that Rav and Shmuel both said, which, as we're going to see, is going to tie back into some of the braises and some of the discussions of the last several daf. So really, the first part of today's daf is very much a continuation of the previous two daf. Zok the Gemara. Rav Ushmul Damri Chavayu. Rav and Shmuel both said, Kur b'shloishim ani moichalecha, if there was a person that wanted to sell to somebody else peiros. And he told him, I'll sell you a kor. A kor is 30 sa. So I'll sell you 30 sa of peiros b'shloishim in exchange for 30 sloim. So the rate is a sa of peiros per seller. But the way he phrased it, and that's what matters, is he said, Kor b'shloishim ani moichalecha. I'll sell you the entire kor for 30 sla. So the halach is yochel lachsabai afilu b'sa achroina. The moicher, and presumably the lekech as well, could be choizer, even if the lekech already took possession of 29 of the 30 sa. Even if they were in his kalim, he did meshicha, it doesn't matter. Until the lekeach does a maisa kinyan with the entire kor, with all 30 sa, if the parties want to back out, it's something they would be allowed to do. Kor b'shloishim sa b'sala ani moichalecha. What would be if the story was exactly the same? However, the language was slightly different. So the Meicher tells the Lekeach, Kur b'shloishim, I'll sell you a kor, which is 30 sa, in exchange for shloishim, which is 30 slum, but he spells out sa b'sela, that each sa I'm selling to you for a sela. Then the halach is rishon rishon kana. As the Lekeach takes possession of each individual sa, meaning it enters his rishos, it's in his kelim, he does meshicha on it, he's kind of that, and as a result, if somebody wants to be chayzer on that part, you would not be able to be chayzer on that part. Now, what's the difference, Pasha Pshat, in Rav and Shmuel Da'amri Chavayu, Mali Resha Mali Seifa, in the language, there's a very subtle difference, right? Kur b'shloishim ani moichalecha versus Kur b'shloishim sa b'sela ani moichalecha. But clearly, it makes a world of a difference. So, the Rashbam is very meirich, but the way he explains it is that if the moicher said Kur b'shloishim ani moichalecha, so then the mekach is the kor, meaning the purchase is the entire kor. If he singled that out, that means that that's what he is selling. If that's the case, until the lekeach does a maisa kinyan on the entire kor, it's as if you want to acquire something and you made a kinyan on part of it. Well, you have to make a kinyan on all of it in order for the kinyan to be in effect. And being that the mekach is one unit of a kor of 30 sa, so until the lekeach does the kinyan, whether it's it being in his rishos, in his keli, whether it's a maisa meshicha, it doesn't matter what the kinyan is. But until the kinyan is done on the entire kor, it's as if the kinyan didn't happen. It's a halba maisa. Therefore, yachal achzabar. If, however, the person said, kor b'shloishim sa b'sela ani moichalecha, if he singled out sa b'sela, the way we interpret that is not just being a little more explanatory and giving you the per unit price. The way we deher it is he's telling him that I'm selling you every saw here for a seller. Now, why do you say kor b'shloishim? Because there's an assumption that that's probably how much is here. But the point is, it's not a unit of a kor. The unit is the saw, and that's the saw b'sela. So rishon kana, as he takes down a saw, he's kind of that saw. And at that point, if one of the parties want to be chayzer from that saw, you would not be able to be chayzer from that saw. So kor b'shloishim ani moichalecha, the mekach is the kor. Thus, until the kinyan is done on the entire kor, it's a felt in the kinyan, Yachal lachzabar. Kur b'shloishim sa b'sela ani moichalacha. There the mekach is each individual sa. It's for that reason, reach and kana, as you make a maisa kinyan in each one of these sa's, that in and of itself would be okay. Either way, that was Rav Shmuel's memra, and the Gemara is going to begin now with Tashmaz. Two Tashmas to be precise, where the Gemara first is going to try to fact check, so to speak, what Rav and Shmuel said in the Reisha, and then what Rav and Shmuel said in the Seifa. It's interesting, the Rashbam makes an observation. So the Rashbam, Kedarke Bakodesh, is a lot wordier than Rashi is, just like the Rani Nadarim is a lot wordier than Rashi is, and there's a lot of Kloli Ashas that you can always take from the Rashbams and the Rans. You see the way they went about working through a Gemara. So the Rashbam here says something interesting. He says that the Gemara is about to ask a kasha on Rav and Shmuel, and the language that the Gemara uses is Toshma. So says the Rashbam, you may have noticed this, you may have not noticed this, but every other place in Shas where the Gemara brings a memra from an Amora, and then the Gemara is going to ask kashas, first the Gemara says Meseve, and then afterwards, the next kasha is a toshma, and the kasha after that is a toshma. So for example, if the Gemara is going to ask five kashas, the first kasha will be a meseve, and then the latter four will be toshmas. Over here, right out of the gate, the Gemara says toshma, and the Rashbam asks it as a kasha, and the Rashbam says, I'm going to tell you why, because the question that the Gemara is going to ask from now is a braisa that we've already had twice in the sugya. In fact, it's the braisa of Arba Midas B'moichrin that the Gemara brought on Pehei Yom Aleph. So it's a braisa that we're already familiar with. Being that's the case, the Gemara immediately goes into Tashma. So when the original Kasha is going to be from a Mishnah or a Braisa that we haven't talked about yet, so then we start with a Meseve, each additional Kasha is Taka Tashma. But being that over here, the initial question is from something that we've already been talking so much about, says the Rashbam in Klolei Ashas, we start with a Tashma. But regardless, says the Gemara, Tashma, Moisam, Midos, Shal, Echad, Mehem, Rishon comes again. It's going back to the Arba Midos, Shal Moichrin. The second of the midos, the way the Rashbam counted it, was midah shal echad mehem, rishon kon. What does that midah state? What that midah states is that if there's a moichrin alokeach, if the midah, meaning where the peiros being sold are being measured, is in something that belongs to the moichrin, so then there's no kinyan that can take place. If, however, it belongs to the loikeach, then rishon kana, as the thing enters the keli of the loikeach is going to be kaina. What's the Gemara's kasha? It's mashma, va'afal gaftalei nesmala hamida. Meaning, it's not just mashma. Those are the words, rishon kana. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that Rav and Shmuel just said that if there's a moicher and a loikeach, and the moicher is putting whatever it is he's selling into the keli of the loikeach, sometimes you say rishon kana, sometimes you don't say rishon kana. What does it depend on? The language. Kur b'shloishim ani moicher lecha, yochel lachzabay afilu b'sa'achreina. Kur b'shloishim, so b'sela ani moicher lecha, then it's rishon kana. The Gemara's kasha is that from the arba midas b'moicher, specifically the second midah, it sounded like when it's kelev shloikeach, it's always rishon kana. That midah doesn't have an asterisk with little fine print and a haggah that tells you, oh, it's only if. No, it sounds like it's always rishon kana. So, Freit the Gemara Kasha, how could Rav and Shmuel Damei Chavayu say that sometimes kelev shloikeach is rishon kana, but sometimes yochel lachzabay afilu b'sa'achreina from the arba midas b'moichrin from yena grace of braisa on peyayim and aleph? It sounds like whenever it's kelev shloikeach, it's always going to be rishon kana. In other words, the Gemara's Kasha is from the fact that the braisa did not make an oikimta in that midah, it sounds like it's always true. The Gemara's Teretz is, no, keep going. You have to say that braisa, although it says rishon kana, doesn't mean it's always rishon kana. It means sometimes it's rishon kana. There is a midah called rishon kana because depending on the language, it could be rishon kana. In fact, the example would be the amalei hin b'shneim aser sloim lug b'sela ani moichelcha, which is the equivalent thereof to Rav and Shmuel Seifa. Meaning the case would be where somebody is selling somebody a hin, that's a shear, a deraisa de geshear. It's made up of yud beis lugin, so some liquid, a hin of it. And he said specifically, I'll sell you the hin, but he spoke out that the nature of the hin is, it's a hin for 12 slum, but it's lug b'sela. Each lug represents a seller. That was mamish the seif of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are moid in that case, that it's rishon kana. That is the case that the Brayis is referring to when it says rishon kana. Now the Gemara adds a drop. The Gemara says, that in the event that that's what the Brayis is referring to, you have to add a knetch in the Akimta, it'd have to be talking about something that Rav Kahana once made an Akimta on. Rav Kahana was talking about the kelim that were used to measure the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Kahana said that those measuring cups, shnasos hayu behin, so it measured a hin, but in the hin there were shnasos, there were like little markers. Hachanami, so to hear shnasos hayu b'midos, he'll have to say that there were shnasos. Now what does it mean that there were shnasos? If you look at the Rashbam, it's three lines from the bottom. The Rashbam says, "Koloi mas simonim lemidos chatziyahin lapar ushlishesahin laoil uraviyasahin lekeves yayin." Right, we're familiar with this from the Kriyas HaTeda. But the point is that they used to have like these markers. This is in case you're bringing a par. This is in case you're bringing an aisle. This is in case you're bringing a keves. So too, in the event that the Meicher and the Lekeach were trading in a liquid, and you want it to be a Rishon Kana, the Kimta would be that it was talking about whether it was Shnosses. Now, it sounds a little bit from the Gemara. If you didn't have the Shnosses, you wouldn't have the Rishon Kana. The only reason you have the Rishon Kana is because of the Shnosses. The Gemara is saying that Pshad and the Arba Midas Meicher Mar, number one, it's talking about where he said, Lug Besel Ani Meicher. It's like the Seif of Rabban Shmuel. Ukida Amar Rav Kahana, Shnosses Hayabim. Mikdash. I mean, why do you have to come on to Rav Kahana as a kimt of Shnasas Hayav Mikdash? Rishon Kana, every lug that you put in, that in and of itself should be enough. He said lug besela. Why do you need the Shnasas? And the truth is, if you look in the Rishonim and the Achronim, they mutch a little bit. That why is it necessary in the Gemara's Teretz that the case is talking about where there were Shnasas? Regardless, that is the Gemara's Teretz. At first glance, the Gemara thought that from the second of the Arba Midas B'Moichrim, it sounds like you always say Rishon Kana, Rabban Shmuel, Damri Chavai, or sometimes yes, sometimes not. It depends on the language. And the Gemara's Teretz is, no, we're making an Akimta. The Akimta is talking about where that was, in fact, the language. So, the Gemara Toshma, and this is already a kashna on the seifa of what Rabban Shmuel said. If somebody hires a poil, so somebody hires a worker, lastly, Imay Lugairin, Hayoim Bedinar, so somebody hired a pile to do work for him in his farm, and the nature of the schirus was hayoim bediner. So what does it mean, hayoim bediner? So it's the last line of the Rashbam. This is a kaloi marashbam, because at first glance, what does hayoim bediner mean? Today for a dinner? Okay, so says the Rashbam, kaloi mar kol yoim sheyim mois hagoyim bediner. This Masker is going to pay the seicher every single day of the goyren one dinar. The nosan loy achshav, that's the hayoyim part, lamid dinar, lelamid yimei hagoyren. So the goyren is made up of 30 days in our story, and he's hiring him to work the entire goyren, which means he's hiring him for those 30 days. He's going to pay him a dinar a day. So essentially, this is a contract for 30 dinar. But here's the point. The point is that he's giving him the money today, even though the goyren is not going to be for another month or two. So really, what he's doing is he's giving him money in advance based on this price. Okay, what's the story here? Says the Gemara Vayter, this price, Ula Goyren Yofa Sela, that the truth is the going rate is not a dinar, the going rate is a Sela. Sela is four times a dinar, meaning this person essentially is getting a tremendous discount from his pile, and the reason he's getting this tremendous discount is because he's fronting him the money. Ordinarily, the going rate would be one day for a Sela. He's getting a 75% haircut, and the reason he's getting this is because of the fact that he's fronting him the money. He's giving him the money 60 days in advance. So Zok de Breisen Geschmack, also Lohanes Emenu. This is right out of Ezo Neshach, even though it's not mentioned in Ezo Neshach, but this is right out of Ezo Neshach. And the halach is that this masker can't have any ana from the work that this person's going to do for him. Because the reason is, it's essentially going to be ribbis. Because you're giving him 30 dinarim, and he's going to give you work that represents 30 slam, which is much more. So you can't have any ana from the work, because the work represents consideration and compensation, which is ribbis. What would be if he hired him not hayoim bedinar, but rather mehayoim bedinar liyoim? In that case, it's going to be mutter. So what happened in this case? In this case, what happened was he hired him to start working right now. So this person is going to start working today, even before the real Zman of the Goyren, and he's going to pay him this cheaper price. But the point is that even during the Yemei HaGoyren, where the price is a day for a Sela, not a day for a dinner, then already it's going to be okay. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? In the Reisha, he's not starting to work for him yet. He's going to start working for him during the Yemei HaGoyrin. So then the halach is, it's a problem. Then you're running into a ribbis issue. If, however, he's going to start working for him already now, fire the Goyrin, where the prices are cheaper, even though he's going to work for him during the Goyrin, and when he works for him during the Goyrim, he's working at the same discounted price. So based on that, really, it should be the same problem of Ribbis. Afilu hachi, the halach is that it's going to be mutter, right? So you have this distinction in the world of Ribbis. And by the way, the Gemara is going to work through this brisa for a few lines now, and we're going to see it's a real Ribbis the brisa, right? The chiluk between the reisha of the brisa and the seifa of the brisa is going to be very much Ribbis. But the Gemara says like this, if you're going to tell me korba shalashim sabasela ani moichalacha, rishon rishon kano, if Rav and Shmuel are correct, like Rav and Shmuel said in the Seifa, that what? Kurbish Loishim Sobasalani Moichalacha. The way we deher it is Rishon Rishon Kono. Hochanami Soto over here, Kama Kama, Mifsak Pasak. We should look at each day being individual. Va'aser Lehonois Heimenu Bedinar Liyoim. And it should be aser for him to have Ana, even in the case of not Hayoim Bedinar, but Bedinar Liyoim. Meaning, even in the Seifa of this price, it should be a problem. The Gemara here is a little bit wordy. So it says, the Gemara, Ulagoyrin Yafa Selam Mutter. And if that's the case, why in the Seifa? We're Lagoyrin, the going price as a seller is a Mutter. Amaiva Agar Not Alihu. It's regular ribbis. Again, very wordy. The Gemara asked the kasha in three lines, but really it's one word. Mali Reisha Mali Seifa. The Gemara's understanding is like this. Bishloima, if you're going to tell me that when a person hires somebody right away, maybe the Gedad Dvarim is that we look at that Schiris as being one long Schiris. So if you're going to hire somebody to start working for you during the Zman of the Goyrin, you're going to pay him today, you're going to get a discounted price, so there's a ribbistic issue over here. There's an agar natar issue over here. You're fronting him the money in exchange for getting a better deal. If, however, the person starts working for you miyad, so then you can see up the entire Tkufas HaSchiris as one big Schiris. The guy offered you a cheaper deal, so who said that's a problem? Meaning, what's ribbis? Ribbis is, I'm giving you the money today, you're not working for me for 2 months, you're doing it then for a discount, which means you're giving me more than I gave you, so you have a ribbis problem. If I hire you and you start working for me today and I stop paying you right now, so what should be the problem? So based on that, the Gemara says, I would hear a chilik between the Reish and the Seifa. The problem is, Rav and Shmuel threw us for a monkey wrench. Because what did Rav and Shmuel say? Rav and Shmuel said that if you hire someone for an extended period of time, now they weren't talking about a schiris, they were talking about a mechira. So if you sell a lot of things, but you individualize in your language each unit, so then the way we deher the mechira is that each unit is an independent mechira. In this schiris over here, although he hired him to start working miyad and he's going to work for him for months, going straight through the goyrin, but at the end of the day, he was very clear. Look at the language of the braisa. He told him specifically, mehayoyim bedinar liyoyim. So the bedinar liyoyim should make us view each schiris of each individual day as being its own little schiris. And if that's the case, you have this zelba aganater klapi the yemea goyren than you have if the guy wouldn't start working for you right away. So again, the Gemara is trying to mucho. What's the difference between the ration of the brisa and the safe of the brisa? A little bit of hard brisa, especially since we're not learning ribbis now. But what's the difference between the ration of the brisa and the safe of the brisa? Look, you're in the ration, you're not starting to work right away. So I'm paying you in advance of when you're going to start working. As opposed to the safe, you're starting to work right now, so I'm going to give you a discounted price, start working, I'll prepay you all the money. But it being that the schiris ki'ilu starts miyad in the world of ribbis, the Gemara doesn't think that's an issue. But the Gemara's kasha is that I'll leave it to Rav and Shmuel, the whole premise of what the distinction might even be is not true. Because the minute that you said bedino liyoyim, you essentially knocked that out. But the Gemara says, oh my Rav, Rav said, you're asking me a kasha from this brisa. What's the kasha? V'tizbra, zulzuli b'schiris mi aser. Why is this a problem anyways? In English, it's not real ribbis, right? Real ribbis we know is where it's derech halva and it's ketutza. This whole thing is a schiris, right? Essentially, the person's basically saying, listen, I'll work for you for a cheaper price. I have a right to do that. I just want you to give me the money in advance. Now, derabon and the ribbis, yeah, for sure. But this is not a real ribbis. I mean, this is not a real ribbis over here, chazal v'mekel. In other words, if you're dealing with a real story, like in Rav and Shmuel's case, where there's a mekach hamemka, a real mekach hamemka, and we have to figure out darkei akinyon and mishicha, kelev shel kaina, anadei reisa digalavos. Okay, you're dealing dealing with a real inyan. You're dealing with a real inyan. So you have to know what the halach is. Here we're only dealing with a derabbanan to get inyan. And being that the whole thing that we're dealing with over here is merely midrabbanan, so it's for that reason we could be makeable. But the Gemara says, okay, at the end of the day, maishna reisha, maishna seifa. There's still a reisha and a seifa. And in the reisha, it's a problem. In the seifa, it's not a problem. Meaning, you want to tell me, don't ask me a kasha from Rav and Shmuel because this is not a real situation anyways? I hear. Okay, but can you at least explain to me the braisa? So the Gemara says, yeah, reisha, leika ovid, behedya, mehashta, michziki agar natali. In the reisha, but the person's not starting to work right away, so it looks like ripis, and that's why it's also safe. The ka'ovid behedya, mehashta, but in the safer where the guy starts working for you right away, like michziki agar natali, there it doesn't look like ribis. Meaning, at the end of the day, in the reisha, it looks like ribis, in the safer it doesn't look like ribis. That's the chibbutin in the reisha and the safer, but think that this is only a ribis through a bottom issue anyways, so therefore the Gemara says, you can't shtel tzu, Rav and Shmuel. Either way, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the very, very end discussed somebody that's buying pishtun from his friend. And the Mishnah said that Hareza Loikona Achi et Taltalenami Makum Lamak. The Chiddush was that over here, as it relates to pishtun, usually they were smaller packages. I mean that they were smaller packages. It's darkum bahagbah, and if it's darkum bahagbah, you can't do mashicha. But then the Mishnah said, "V'mhoyim mechub lekarke v'talash kol shulkan." If, however, the pishtan was attached to the ground, and you were toilish even a kol shu, then you can be kaina all the pishtan that you want to be kaina. So the Gemara says, "Mishum the talash kol shulkana." How could that be? You want to be kaina a whole bunch of pishtan, so you did tlisha. Right, you ripped out a little bit of pishtan from the ground. How could that give you the right now to be kind of all the other pishtan? I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Achmai Eskina." We're talking about the amale lech yafelach karka, where the meicher told the lekeach go yafelach karka kolshu, go beautify the land a little bit. Fikniya be kind of kol mashallah, everything that's inside of it. In other words, the person, the meicher, told the lekeach, go make a chazaka in the field. And by making a chazaka in the field, you'll be able to be kind of everything that's in the field. So the way you're being kind of is not so much with the maisa that you're doing in the pishtan, but the way you're being kind of is with the maisa that you're doing in the field. That's the point. So being that it's the kinyan in the field that's getting it for you, it's not the kinyan in the actual pishtan. So therefore, even a kolshu would be enough. So Enochinami, doing a little bit of a kinyan in the pishtan should not be able to get you all the pishtan. But here, the way we deher the kinyan is not so much as a mice in the pishtan. We look at it as a mice in the field. And that little that you did in the pishtan is considered a chash of a mice in the entire field. And it's for that reason that you're able to be kinyan. If you take a look at the Rashbam says that what emerges from the way the Gemara explained the last line of the mission is two chedushim in the world of cheskas kinyan. Number one, you're being kind of pishtun, you're not being kind of the field. But at the same time, a kinyan in the field is going to get you the pishtun. The Rashbam says that's chedush to me. So that's chedush number one. And the reason obviously is because the pishtun is mechuber, right? And being that it's mechuber, so you could see it somewhat as being a piece of karka. So therefore, you could be kind of all the pishtun in the karka by a nal gadu parat, so to speak, on the actual karka. That's the first chiddush. The second chiddush that the Rashbam says that you see from here is that even though this act that you did is a chazaka kala, that's his lashon, what do you do? You just rip that a little bit of pishtan. But even that's considered a chazaka, and the world of cheskes kinyan, which the Gemara discussed in Lent and Perek Cheskes Sabbatim, that in and of itself would be okay. Toisness, it's the top toisness, not peizayin amid aleph, says that as it relates to the first chiddush that the Rashbam said that you see in our Gemara, Toisness doesn't quote the Rashbam, but Toisness has a little bit of a different understanding. Toisness says that the gedder of why lech yafelecha karka kolshu v'kni kol mashaleh would work is because really you're making a kinyan in the karka. What does that mean? You're not being kind of the karka, but what you're doing is you're doing a kinyan shela in the karka. And when you do a kinyan shela in the karka, you now become the owner of the karka. And if you become the owner of the karka, you can be kind of the pishtan in the karka by it being your chatzis. It's the machlokes Rashbam and Tosfos Pashut Pshat, how the Lech Yafeiloch in the Karka gets you the Pishtan. According to the Rashbam, it's Mechubar. And being that it's Mechubar, a mice in the Karka can get you what's Mechubar to the Karka. According to Tosfos, no. You're not making a direct Kinyan in the Pishtan. You're making a direct Kinyan in the Karka. And you're not being Kohen of the Karka. You're making a Kinyan Sheila. You're becoming a Shoyal. Now it's yours. Once it's yours, you can be Kohen of the Pishtan already with your Chatzar. Either way, Zokta Mishnah Vaitam. If somebody sells wine or oil to his friend, Vahukru Oisha Huslu, and then the price of the wine or the oil either went up in value or went down in value. Im actually in this hamido lemoicher. If the moicher and the lekeach were measuring this yayin and the shemen, and the measuring cup wasn't filled up yet, so then the halacha is that if it went up in price, any upgrade belongs to the moicher. I mean, if the moicher wants to back out, he can back out. Or if it goes down in price, the lekeach says, "I'm out." So he could back out as well. Meaning everything is lemoicher. Mishenis malas amida. Once already it gets filled up, lelekech, at that point it belongs to lekech. Now who owns this mida? It's kelev shel moicher, it's kelev shel lekech. Where is it? It's in a simta, it's in a rishus harabim, right? There were a whole bunch of different qualifications that we're familiar with. So the Gemara is going to get involved in this a little bit. What if there was a middleman? What if there's a broker that's involved? So then, nishbara hachavis nishbara l'sirsa. So the understanding is that there's a broker, somebody that is the shatchin here between the moicher and the lekeach, and the mita belongs to the sirsa. So as soon as it goes into the chavis of or the mita of the sirsa, then if something happens to it, the sirsa is actually the one that incurs the cost. Meaning this broker has some liability. It touches his midah, he somehow becomes the bailim for that interim period of time. And if something happens during that interim time, he's actually the one that's going to take the loss. Another halacha of the Mishnah, the chayiv lahatav lo shalosh tip. This is a general halacha. If somebody's selling somebody a liquid, so somebody says, I want to sell you this chavis of liquid. Okay, so you take the chavis, you empty it out. Meaning, let's try to visualize it a little bit. Like, Kech shows up with his chavis, and the moicher says, I'll sell you everything in my chavis. He's pouring from his chavis into the Lekech's chavis. What about the little drops that are on the bottom, especially with something like oil, something that's more viscous, right? It's a little thicker. So what's the halacha with those drops? So the Mishnah says, V'chayiv lahatav le'sholosh tipin, you have to give him three drops. Here, kino umitzis, what happens if he gave him the three drops? And then the moicher took his barrel, and he put it upside down, so a little bit was kvetching out, meaning a little more than the three drops came. The halacha belongs to the moicher. A chenveni is not obligated to give the sholish tipin. The reason is the chenveni is very busy. He's running a big geschäft, right? So being that he's running a whole business, it's understood when you buy from the chenveni, he doesn't have time now to wait for three drops to come out. So it's almost like a mechila, and therefore with the chenveni, he doesn't have to give the three tipin. Rabbi Yudaim, Rabbi Yudaim says, Erev Shabbos im chashecha. Potter. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain. Either way, so the first part of the Mishnah was Hamoicha Yain v'Shem al-Chaveiroi v'Hukru o'Yishehuzl. Im actually in the smallest Hamida, if the Mida wasn't filled up yet, meaning it's like a Rishon, but it wasn't filled up yet, then Lamoicha, it's going to belong to the Moicha. V'Shem the smallest Hamida, if it was filled up already, the Lekeach, then already it's going to belong to the Lekeach. If there was a Sirsa, the Mishnah said, and it was his keli, right? That's what it sounds like. Then nishpara l'sirsa. If anything happens to it, at that point, the sirsa is the one that's going to incur the liability. So the Gemara says, hamida dema. As it relates to the first part, where it was hukru ayhuzu, who owns the mida? Ilei mida de lekeach. If you're going to tell me that the mida belongs to the lekeach, actually in esmalas mida lemeicher, mida de lekeach, right? What are you telling me that actually in esmalas the mida belongs to the meicher? Of course it belongs to the lekeach. Why? Rishon kana. Right? What happened to the halacha of Rishon kana? Now the Rashbam speaks out that even though we just saw from Rav Shmuel, you don't always say Rishon kana. Okay, but the Mishnah is saying it in all cases, and for sure, in some cases, is it then Rishon Kana. So, afraid the Gemara, what happened to Rishon Kana? Velo, Mida the Meicher. You'll tell me that the Mida really belongs to the Meicher. If that's the case, Mishen the Smalis, Mida the Lekeach, Mida the Meicher, he writes, Kalev Shal Meicher, and Kalev Shal Meicher, what's the halacha? It's the second mida of the Arba Midas B'Meicher, and it always belongs to the Meicher. So the Gemara's cash is Memanavshach. If it's Kalev Shal Lekeach, what happened to Rishon Kana? And if it's Kalev Shal Meicher, then who cares if it's in Smalas? It always belongs to the Meicher. So the Rashbam, we're not going to do this, but the Rashbam sends you right back to the last few dafim, because really, depending on how he came out in some of the sugyas in the previous Gemaras, we just gave a shout out to Rav and Shmuel, because it was the first part of today's daf. it could impact these Gemaras. Ayin Rashban. But the bottom line is super high level, right? If it's Caleb Sholei Keach, then what happened to Rishon Rishon Gan? If it's Caleb Sholei or not? So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Lo, Sneb and Midasir, sir. It's talking about where this Keli really belonged to a Sirser. What does that mean? It means they borrowed the Keli. It really belongs to a third person. And being that the Keli belongs to a third person, so the way we deherit is as follows. This Meicher and Lekeach, they want a transaction. They needed a Keli, so they borrowed the Keli. Actually, Nesmalis, we say that who's the Shoyl? The Meicher is the Shoyl. Mishen Nesmalis, who's the Shoyl? Lekeach's the Shoyl. If this sounds familiar, it's because we had this already. This was also in the Brice of the Arba Midas B'Moichrim. This was the first Mida. So the first Mida of the Arba Midas B'Moichrim was Kalev. Actually, Nismalis Mida L'Moichrim, Mishin Nismalis Mida L'Loikeach, B'Medvar Ma'mur B'Mida, She'ena Shal Shnei. Right, this was literally the first of the Arba Midas B'Moichrim, and based on the Gemara's Akimta, that's what the Mishnah is saying. But the Gemara has a little bit of a problem, because Amidit Tani Seifa, the Seifa said, it was the next part of the Mishnah. Bim hoya sirsa b'neyem. Oh, then nishbara chavis, nishbara l'sirsa. That's like a whole new akimta. Now, all of a sudden, we're bringing a broker into the mix. It sounds like before that, this is an off-market transaction. It doesn't sound like there's a broker. Michal de reisha la b'sirsa askino. It sounds like up until this point, there was no sirsa. Mara says, no, reisha, midabalai sirsa, seifa b'sirsa atzmi. Really, the keli that was being used, the mida was always of a third person. That was always of a sirsa. So what changed between the Reisha and the Seifa? Whether the sirsa was physically there or he wasn't physically there. In the first case, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the sirsa is bargaining his mida. He's loaning out his mida. So you're borrowing his mida. So that's the first mida of the Arba Mida Shal Moichan Pehei Yamad Aleph. So then, actually in the Smalas L'Moichan, Mishnah the Smalas L'Loikeh. As opposed to in the Seifa of the Mishnah, the sirsa is physically there. So when the sirsa is physically there, he's physically engaged in the transaction. So then we assume he's not lending it. That's the punchline. Then he's not lending it. When he's not there, he lends it. So he's for sure not the guy. The question is it the moicher the lekeach? Oh, actually, in his mouth, speech in his mouth. If he is there, then we assume, why would I lend it to you? I'm physically here. Then he actually takes possession of it. So it's a very important halacha. If you lived in a shuk 2,000 years ago, you have to know this. But the point is, if the sirser is not there, then we assume the moicher the lekeach the shayalim. Who is specifically is the shayal? It depends. If the sirser is present, that's the next part of the Mishnah, then already we assume that the sirser is the one that takes possession. Here, kina umnitzis harehu shel moicher. Zok the Gemara. So what was the last part of the Mishnah? Last part of the Mishnah was that the moicher has to give 3 tipin to the lekeach. What happens if he gave him the 3 tipin and then more oozed out? That belongs to the moicher. The chenveni doesn't even have to give the 3 tipin. And then Rabbi Yehuda very cryptically stated, Erev Shabbos im chasheicha pater. Pater from what? Either way, since the Gemara, Rabbi Loza Ashkechei v'ze'iri, when Rabbi Loza came from Babel Teres Yisrael, he meant ze'iri. Amaleis, he told him, Mikan tano da'asne rav midos? Is there anyone here that can explain to me the way that Rav explained the halachos of midos? Meaning he wanted it like a Talmud of Rav, who had a Messiah from Rav, had to learn the sugis of midos, and the reason is because, as we're about to see, Arakasha was bothering him. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, he says, if there's a Talmud of Rav, he thinks he's going to get a little bit of insight. So the Gemara said, Ze'iri pointed to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Achvei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. He says, yeah, go talk to him. He'll be able to help you. Otherwise, he comes to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and he says, Michael Kashalach, tell me, what's bothering you? You have a Kasha? So he said, yeah, the Tanan, Mishnah says, Herkina umitzis, Hareyu shal moicher. Right? The Mishnah said that anything that oozes out after the 3 tipin, the moicher gets the kip, lekeach doesn't get it. So what was the kasha? Vatnan. But we learned in a Mishnah, Hirkina umitza, harezu truma. And this is a Mishnah in the Sechtes Trumois, where the halacha is that if you have a chavis that has truma inside of it, and you gave it all to the kohen, any little trup that comes out afterwards, the proverbial herkina umitza is going to be considered truma. So this is what was bothering Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, I don't understand. In Chayshe Mishpat, that little that oozes out goes to the moicher, not to the lekeach. Yet, in Hilchas Trumas, we say it's truma, which would suggest it really belongs to the lekeach, the proverbial lekeach. Who's that? It's the kohen. So isn't it a steer? So Amalei told him, what kind of kash is that? It's two different in yonim. In Chayshe Mishpat, the reason lekeach doesn't get it, not because he's not entitled to it. Of course he's entitled to it. I bought the whole chavis. This is part of the chavis. The teretz is, he gives up hope on it. He's miyayish. Right? Just like by the chenveni, he doesn't even get the 3 tipin because he's Whatever, he understands he's not getting it. So three tipin he thinks he's going to get. Beyond that, he's miyayish. And because he's miyayish, he loses out. But you want to know if it has Kedusha Truma? Of course it has Kedusha Truma. And it's for that reason, the Mishnah says in Trumas that Harezu Truma is going to be Truma. So the Chemin doesn't have to give the three tipin. And then what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda said, Erev Shabbos Imcha Sheikha Potter, which seemingly means that Erev Shabbos Imcha Sheikha, then you're Potter from the three tipin. So Rabbi Yehuda, Reishnakoi Ulakula. Rabbi Yehuda was being meiko, or was Rabbi Yehuda being machmer? Meaning, was Rabbi Yehuda saying that in the Reisha, a regular moicha, not a chenfini, who for sure has to give three tipin, I'm meiko, I hold even that guy, your regular mom and pop, Erev Shabbos and Chashecha is potter. Why? Because you're tarred, right? That's the time that everyone's always tarred. No, so he's being meiko. He's saying that even when the Stam Mishnah is that for sure you have to give the three tipin, I hold maybe not. Or maybe he's going on the Seifa and he's coming to be Machmer. What did the Seifa say? The Chenveni is Potter. Zokt Rav Yehuda, the only time the Chenveni is Potter is Erev Shabbos and Chashecha. So is he coming to be Mekel, in which case it's a comment on the Reisha, or is he coming to be Machmer, in which case it's a comment on the Seifa? So the Gemara says, Tashma, our Mishnah, we don't know, but as is very often the case, there are brises from which there is a Giloy in Hedda, better understand a Mishnah, and this is such a case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Erev Shabbos, im chashecha, chen v'ni patim, et neisha, chen v'ni tarad. It's pretty clear. Rabbi Yehuda's coming to be machmer, Rabbi Yehuda's comment was on the same. It's a classic example. Right, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos, im chashecha, patim. Is he referring to the regular person, or is he referring to the chen v'ni? In the price, it was mefurish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos, im chashecha, chen v'ni patim, et neisha, chen v'ni tarad. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi not pick the Braisa instead of Mishnah? He wanted a Lashon Ketzara, ki yadua. But the point is that this is a perfect example in exhibit. There's so many exhibit A's, but this is definitely as good as any exhibit where you see a Braisa that makes a very simple point in a little more of an expressive way, which resolves an Ibaya of the Gemara. Zok to Mishnah Vayta. Hashalech es benoy etzol chenveni, upundyam miyadeh. Somebody sent his son, the son was a katan, very important point, to a chenveni, and he sent him with money. The amount of money that he sent him was a pundyan. And the purpose was for him to buy, as we're about to see, an isar's worth of oil. So somebody sends his son, go to the chenveni, go to the store, and buy oil. Okay, so he gave him money. The money that he gave him was a pundyan. The amount that he's supposed to buy is an isar. An isar is a half a pundyan, which meant that the child was going to have to bring back, number one, the oil that he's purchasing. Number two, he was also going to have to bring back change. Okay, now, what the Gemara takes for granted, that I guess we were supposed to know, but it's going to be very evident from the Gemara, that usually when people used to go to the chenveni to, let's say, buy oil, they would bring their own jug. So you would come with your own sleiches, that's how you would show up, and the chenveni would pour whatever it is he's selling you into the tzleiches. So the visual would be this. You have a little child who his father gives him a tzleiches, he gives him this jug, and he tells him, go to the store, be careful, and when you're there, you should take this punyan that you have, don't forget the change, right? And you're going to bring back the tzleiches with the shemen, with the change. Okay, either way. So this guy comes now to the chenveni, umadad like the shemen, the chenveni did everything he was supposed to do. He measured an iser's worth of shemen, v'nasan layasa iser, and then he took the iser and he gave it to him. And then this katan is on his way home, and he did what the father was a little bit afraid he might do. Shabres ha-tzloiches, father that's ha-iser, alz is gemar faloiden. Number one, he broke the tzloiches. The oil is all over the place. And not just that, that insult to injury, even lost the money. So says the Mishnah, chenveni chayev. Chenveni is chayev. The chenveni has to make the father whole. He has to give him back his punyan, whatever. He has to make him 100% whole. For the ganze geschäft, for the tzloiches, the money, the oil, whatever it is, he has to make him whole. Rabbi Yehuda Poyter, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's potter. Why? Sha'amenas kein shalchay. What did the chenveni do? Let's be honest. I guess he was negligent. Why did you send it back with a child, right? You hopped that this is not exactly priority mail. There's a good chance that you're not going to get what you... But the chenveni is allowed to assume that if the father sent the child, it's probably what he was supposed to do. So how can you be mechayivim? So the chachamim say, no, the chenveni still should have sent it back in a more secure way. Rabbi Yehuda says, no way. Al menas kein shalchay. Any liability that would come about from this, the father for sure is waving by sending his child, and as a result, there's no way the chemin is going to be chavs. In the event that the tzloiches is in the hand of the tinoik. So in the Gemara, we'll see what this means. But pasha, what it means is that the chenveni never took hold of the tzloiches. So the child is holding the tzloiches the entire time. Umadat chenveni l'toicha, and then the chenveni poured into it. Shechenveni potet, that the chenveni is going to be potet from the tzloiches. Now, Vadi is going to be chayef for the shemen, and he's going to be chayef for the money. But as it relates to the tzloiches, if he never held the tzloiches, can't be mechayef. Meaning the father sent the tzloiches. So why be mechayef the chenveni? So if he at one minute had it in his possession, so now we can have a conversation that the chenveni should be chayef, which is what the chachamim hold. He'll be chayef for everything, l'rabbis, even the tzloiches. But if he never took possession of it, then already, so again, what's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim? I mean, the case is a geshmaka case. According to the chachamim, the chenveni is chayef for the money, for the oil, and for the tzloiches. Right? The whole chadgadia. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the chenveni is potter from everything. The chachamim amoyed to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a time you'll be, the chenveni will be potter from the tzloiches. When is that? If the tzloiches is biyad hatinoi. If the child is the one that was holding it the entire time. So the Gemara says like this. Bishlam b'isa b'shemen. Bishlam as it relates to the oil and the money. I understand the machlokes of Yehuda and the Chacham. Right? The whole Mishnah. Which screams this machlokes of Yehuda and the Chacham. I get it. It's very simple. The Rabbanan. Sabi lai du yashadu. The Rabbanan hold that from the Chemini's perspective, the way he's supposed to view the child showing up, that the father is telling the Chemini through his child that I want you to please send me oil. An Isa's worth of oil. With this tzloiches, beseder, but don't send it through the child. So if you send it through the child, you're negligent, you're going to be chayv. Rabbi Yehuda Sava L'shturi L'shadre. No, that the assumption is that the child is going to bring it back. So what the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is, anyone that learns the Mishnah will get it. Every child will have this. It's very, very simple. El, says the Gemara, Shavat tzloiches. But you're telling me that if the tzloiches broke, the Chachamim hold that you're going to be chayv for the tzloiches, Avei the Midasi. Why is this not an Aveda Midas? And this kasha is a geshmaka kasha. The kasha is that when the father sent the tinoik with the tzloiches, I mean, let's be honest, the likelihood, the probability of it breaking was pretty high. And as a result, when he gave it to him, it was an Aveda Midas. An Aveda Midas, we know, is Hefker, right? The equivalent thereof anyways. And if that's the case, so how could you be mechayev the chenveni for what happened to the tzloiches? It's an aveda midas. You mechayev me for breaking your aveda midas. The minute it was an aveda midas from your standpoint, you relinquish rights to it. And if that's the case, how can you be mechayev? So as it relates to this, if Hashem is up to Gemara Chfashtei the machleikis, abavasa the machleikis, as it relates to the tzloiches, or better, what could be pshat in the chachamim? So the Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to have four pshatim from different Amiram to explain why it is, according to the Chachamim, that you are going to be chayef for the tzloiches. And really, the avoda, if you want to do this properly, all four of the pshatim that the Gemara is going to say is, number one, understand the answer to the Gemara's kasha, right? That's the imik riyotzim depshute part of the sugya. The kasha is, why, according to the Chachamim, are you chayef the chenveni for the tzloiches? It's an avoda bidas. Okay, so what's the answer to that? Once you figure out the answer to that, the next piece really that you would want to know is what's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda's Chayli. So you'd like to know why Rabbi Yehuda argue. Whatever the svara is going to be according to the Chachamim, so what's going to be now pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? And then the third thing you're going to want to understand is the last part of the Mishnah. Umoydim Chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda bizman shat tzloiches biyadat tinoik shechen v'nipatim. Meaning once we have a better appreciation and understanding for why the chenveni is chayef for the tzloiches, so now you have to fashtei the sefer. Then why is it that in some cases, if it's biyadat tinoik, that the chenveni is going to be chayef? Either way, says the Gemara. Teretz number one. Rav Hoshea, Rav Hoshea said, hacha b'bal abayis moichret tzloiches askinan. Ah, great sight over here. We're talking about a situation where the bal abayis was a moichret tzloiches. Meaning, the reason he sent the tzloiches was because he wanted to know if the chenveni wants to buy the tzloiches. That's why he sent it to him. Pashut, he sent it to him to have a little container, to be able to... No, he actually was sending it to him for the purpose of, do you want to buy it or do you not want to buy it? Meaning, there's two things going on over here. Number one, he's going all in the chachamim. The child now is showing up at the chenveni saying, you know, my father wants an Isa's worth of shemen, here's the money, please send it to him. Figure out a way to send it to him. Additionally, do you want to buy the tzloiches? Right, that's the second question that he's asking him. Says the Gemara, okay. And what happened was the Chenveni picked it up and he says, you know, do I want this or do I not want this? Okay. And the punchline is something Shmuel said. If somebody takes a keli from an Umin because he inspects, he wants it, do I want to buy it, do I not want to buy it? And then all of a sudden an Oinus happens. Chayef. The Halach is, he's going to be Chayef for the Oinus. The minute you pick it up, maybe to buy, not to buy it, if an Oinus takes place, you're going to be Chayef. Now the truth is, in tomorrow's daf, the first part of the daf, we're going to get into Shita Shmuel. Tomorrow's going to start Gufa Amra Shmuel, this Halacha. So we'll know Shmuel a little bit better. If you want to know it dafka today, without learning tomorrow's daf, you can learn the Rashbam. The Rashbam gives us a little bit of an insight into what's coming tomorrow. But there is such a Halacha, meaning there's parameters to this Halacha. But there is such a Halacha that if somebody takes a Klimin Omen, Amanas Labakri, and then an Oinus happens, you're going to be Chayef. So the Gemara Tanya is like this. The minute the Chenvedi picked up this Tzloiches, he picked it up Amanas Labakri. If he picked it up Amanas Labakri, right? In that case, so now he becomes a Shtekel Bala Bas. If an Oinus happens afterwards, you're going to be Chayef. If you sent it back with the Tinuk, which you weren't supposed to do according to the Chachamim, V'haraya Yichayef for the Isar and Yichayef for the Shemitz, you're going to be Chayef for this as well. And it's for that reason that Halacha is, according to the Chachamim, you are going to be Chayef. Now, what's Rabbi Yehuda hold? What's Rabbi Yehuda hold, right? We said we have to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and we have to figure out what the Maid Chachamim is. Kipshuta, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Shmuel's Halacha, right? Shmuel's a very big Chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda probably doesn't hold of Shmuel's Halacha. Okay. What's the Seifa? Rabbi Yehuda, Bezman, Shatzloiches, B'yadatinoik. If the Chenveni never took the Tzloiches, then the Chenveni is going to be Potter. So, Pasha, what it's saying is, if he never took it, Rashbam says you have to add one Knech, even if he took it. But if he didn't take it, Al-Manas L'Bakra, then in and of itself is going to be enough that you should be Potter. So the Rashbam says that the Umoidim Chachamim needs a Tosefes Knech right now. It's not Dochuk in the Mishnah, you just have to add that language. And that is that as long as he didn't take it, Al-Manas Labakroi, meaning Mishnah says he didn't take it. No, even if he took it. But if he didn't take it, Al-Manas Labakroi, so at that point he's not going to be high. But the Gemara says, I have one problem with this whole spiel. And that is, Lame the Shmuel Tanoi, what's going to emerge is that really Shmuel's Halacha is totally in a Machlek is Tanoi. Meaning it comes out that Chachamim hold of Shmuel, Rebbe doesn't hold of Shmuel. The Gemara doesn't love that Teretz. So the Gemara says, Ella, Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Dami, Travayu, because of that, Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, they both said a different Teretz. Hacha, Bechen, Vini, Moichert, Sloichis, Askinon. Meaning, we spoke this out earlier. The premise of the Gemara's Kasha that why should the Chemini be Chayef for the Tzloichis? Isn't it an Aveda Midas? Is that the visual is that the father sent his child with a tzlichas. And if that was the assumption of the Gemara, it's probably because if we lived in that world, you would have made the same assumption. That's probably the way it usually was. But Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, because it is Kasha, said that you don't have to say that that's the case. Lav Dafka, what's going on over here, is that we're talking about a case where the child showed up at the tzlichas. Well, I'll tell you, the child didn't show up at the tzlichas. In fact, you know what happened? What happened was, is the father sent the child with the punyan, and he said, I want you to go buy an Easter's worth of oil, but an Easter's worth of oil that comes along with the tzlichas. So really, the child, or the father, is buying the oil, and he's buying the tzlichas. It's all included in the Isar. But he didn't show up at the tzlichas. He didn't show up at the tzlichas. And all is good. Then it's possible. The whole kasha was when the father sent the child with the tzlichas, it was an aved midas. The Teretz says he never sent him with the tzlichas. And in fact, the Gemara says, V'oz Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh, V'rabbanu l'tameh, the machloikas, we're reading the chacham as it relates to the tzlichas. The same machloikas as it relates to the money and as it relates to the oil. It's the same shaila. The shaila is, was the chenveni supposed to send it with the child? Was he not supposed to send it with the child? The only reason we thought the tzlichas was different is because we thought the child showed up at the tzlichas. That's usually the way it was. Oh, but the Gemara says that's not the case. But the Gemara says, I have a problem. Because in the Sefer, what did it say in the Sefer? We know what it said in the Sefer. You can't even read the Sefer. In the event that the Tinek is holding the Tzloiches, Umadad, Chenveni L'toicha, and Chenveni was Madad, into which Chenveni Potter is going to be Potter. Right? V'amrit, you just said, Lo'idu Yeshadre, that he had no right to ever send it with the child, according to the Chacham. So why in that case would the Chenveni be Potter? I mean, you can't even read it, right? The Gemara is asking it like nuance. It's not just nuance. If the child shows up with the tzloiches, so I understand. Sometimes the chenveni takes responsibility. Sometimes he doesn't take responsibility. If he never took possession of it. But if it was his the whole time, so what do those words even mean? Yeah, the Gemara is asking it in a very pointed way. The Gemara is saying, tachlis correct. You had no business ending it, right? Loiduye shadre. So if it's loiduye shadre, I mean, the father sent the child to be my dear, you should send it to him in a responsible way. So if that's the case, bisman shat sloichas, whatever those words even mean, again, we're saying, I don't know what the words mean. The Gemara is saying, whatever it means, at the end of the day, if you're chaya for the Isar and you're chaya for the Shemen, why? Because you were never supposed to send it with the child. So bisman shat sloichas biyad atinoik, Chenveni Potter, it doesn't make any sense. Now notice, the Gemara spoke out how you're going to understand the Umoidim Chacham, right? The Gemara is trying to work this through for you. The Gemara did not explain what. The Gemara didn't speak out at the end what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and the reason is because that's a Pasha, right? The Gemara really did speak it out. For us, the Rabbi Yehuda L'tameh, for us, the Rabbanu L'tameh. So again, the two things that we need to figure out in terms of, or really, the three things we need to figure out in terms of understanding the Mishnah. Number one, why is the Chen Veni Chayv on the Tzlechis? Once you understand that, why is Rabbi Yehuda hold not? And what's the Umaydim? So the second teretz of the Gemara is that why, according to the Rabbanon, are you Chayiv? Why is the Chen Veni Chayiv? Because it's talking about where it was the Chen Veni Tzlechis. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are you Potter? Because with Shadure Shadre, meaning, because the understanding was that you could send it back with the shah, but the same reason you're potter from the money, you're potter from the oil, you're also potter from the tzleiches. What's the moidim chachamim? I don't know, which is exactly why the Gemara knocks out this teretz. Ella said, the Gemara says we need a third teretz, right? The first teretz we don't love, because it makes shmuz halacha machloikis tanon. Second teretz, you can't read the umoidim. Ella, abaye bar abin, for abchanid, bar abin, amit shavayu, hocha, b'may oskinon, kegoyin shenotla, lomud ba. The case over here was, where the child, Taka, showed up with the Tzleiches, and from that standpoint, it was an Aveda Midas, 100%. It was an Aveda Midas at that point. The Chemveni, however, picked up right now the Midah, and the reason he picked up the Midah was Lamedba, to make sure you have the Isa's worth of Shemen, right? He has a certain amount of Shemen that he's supposed to sell him. Once he picks it up, at that point, he's Chayiv. You know why? Could the Rabba, based on something Rabba said. Amar Rabba said, he Kisha Nischayiv. So Rabbi's halacha was said in the context of Perik Elu Metzias, which, by the way, has a shaykh star sugya, because we're talking about an aveda midas. And the case over this specifically is a zokim ve'ina lefi chvoidoi, who sees an aveda, so the halacha is he doesn't have a chiv hashavas aveda. Pom mishat ha-mesalim, right? He has no obligation to return this aveda. Stating that, if he's hikisha v'matav, he takes a stick and he hits it and he causes the animal to move a little bit, at that point he's already chayef. Says the Gemara, that just like Rabbi said, that a zokim ve'ina lefi chvoidoi, who has no chiyav hashavas aveda, but if he's hikisha v'makal, now he's chayiv. So too, if this person gets possession of an aveda midas, and he's proverbially hikisha v'makal, he picks it up and he measures, at that point, it becomes an aveda. Yeah, it's an aveda midas, but an aveda that you have a chiyav hashava for. And as a result, if you have a chiyav hashava, you have to do an appropriate hashava, and to send it with the child is not, and it's for that reason that you are going to be chayiv. So the reason you're chayiv is because you picked it up. And the minute you picked it up, at that point, you're going to be chayiv. So it's similar to the first teretz of the Gemara. But the first teretz of the Gemara was that he picked it up to buy it, and then he wasn't sure, and then he sent it back. So, I mean, it sounds like maybe he didn't buy it, but the point is, if you pick it up on Amanas Labakroi, at that point, you're going to be chayiv. This is similar. You picked it up not on Amanas Labakroi to buy it, but it was Amanas Lomudba. And being that it was Amanas Lomudba, the minute you take a shtickle possession of it, at that point you're going to be chayiv. Now let's just work through the Mishnah. Okay, so according to Rabbanan, the reason you're chayiv is based on Rabbi Zalach. Why is Rabbi Yehuda hold your potter? Pashit, Rabbi Yehuda maybe doesn't hold the Rabbi. Okay, what's do Maidim? Oh, Maidim's very good. If you never picked it up. So you didn't pick it up, Amanas Lamedba. The cotton's holding it the whole time. That's the way you'd have to learn the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, I don't think Rabbi's a tzushtal anyways. Because Eimed Amar Rabbi, when did Rabbi say his halacha? The Bali Chayim. He said it regarding an animal. The Anketinu Nigra Briyasa. What does that mean? It means that when you hit an animal, so the animal moves. If a Zokin Vein Elfichvoide sees an animal, he hits it, he causes the animal to move, which makes it more lost than it was previously. So you become complicit in the Aveda, and that's why you're Chayef. But if you just pick up an Aveda Midas and you put it right back to where it was, you didn't do anything. Hikisha b'makal, that's a significant move. This is not. And as a result, it's not even a tzushtal to what Rabbi said. Elo ma'rava. So Rava said the final teretz. Ani v'arisha b'chabura targeminua. Umanu Rabzeir. Hoch Mayaskin, you know we're talking about over here. Going to not the Lamud Ba Lache. The case is what we thought the case was the whole time. The child showed up with this mita and he gave it to the Chenveni. The Chenveni picked it up and the Chenveni used it for something else. There was somebody else in the store and he needed the measurement. He said, you know what? Perfect. Why don't you use this? So he decided to use Reuven's thing to measure for Shimon. Ubishoyl shaloi midas come if again the machloek is, are you allowed to do that? If someone does that, he's a shoyl shaloi midas, essentially. Mar sovar shoyl havi, umar sovar gazlan havi. And that would be the nafkamina. If you're a shoyl, so the minute you give it back to the child, so the shayla is over. So that little shayla that you did is oy shayla. It was an aveda midas, you're going to be chayv. If, however, shoyl shaloi midas is a gazlan, so now you chayv al gazlans. Even though it was an aveda midas, but now we see you as a gazlan, and being that we see you as a gazlan, so it's for that reason that you are going to be chayv. So again, the question was, we had a nice mishnah where a father sends his child, that's a child, and he gives him money, and he says, go buy shemen, and the understanding was, he even came with the tzluchis, and then the chenveni just gave it back to him, and on his way home, everything got lost. According to the Chacham, the Chacham is Chayv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham is Pot. The understanding of the Machlokes is Pashat. The Chacham understand that the child was coming to be Maidia, send it in some responsible fashion. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. The understanding was, send it back with the child. But the Gemara's Kasha was, is that that makes sense for the money and it makes sense for the oil. It does not make sense for the tzlichas. And the reason it doesn't make sense for the jug is because at the end of the day, when the father sent the child with the jug, that made it an aved midas. And if it made it an aved midas, so how can you be mechayev me for causing damage to your aved midas? And the Gemara really threw out four possibilities of what the answer might be. One teretz was, is that the Baal HaBayis, when he sent the tzloiches, he sent it adas to maybe sell it. And when the chemedi picked it up, he was thinking, maybe I should buy, maybe I shouldn't buy. Ultimately, he didn't buy it. But once you pick it up to inspect it, Shmuel's grace and memory, which we'll see more about in tomorrow's daf, that makes you achroi, and it's for that reason you are going to be chai. The second teretz the Gemara said was that the whole assumption that the child showed up with the tzloiches is incorrect. Really, it was the chenveni who sent his own tzloiches. And it's for that reason, there was never an aved midas, kushimei karolesa. The third approach that the Gemara thought was, it's talking about where when the chenveni got the jug, he started using it, and using even an aved midas would make you chiyuvei yashava, just like a zaki v'ena lefichvoida, who's a kishav emako, he has chiyuvei yashava. And the fourth teretz, and really the final teretz of the Gemara was, is where the chenveni got it and he used it for somebody else, and then he sent it back. And the tzad that the chenveni would be chayav for the tzleiches is al tshoyosh l'midas. But one thing is clear, and this is certainly based on the maskanas on Gemara, the fourth and final teretz of the Gemara, and that is the reason Rabbi Yudan and the Chachamim argue regarding the money and the oil is not the same reason Rabbi Yudan and the Chachamim argue as it relates to the tzlichas. So there's two machloikas going on over here. One is regarding the money and the oil, the oiduye shadre or the shture shadre. The other one is regarding the tzlichas, and that is a shayol shlomidas. Do we see him as a shayol, or do we see him as a gazlin?